secrets. Now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Desiree.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Desiree, and I am an alcoholic. Hi. And, you know, welcome to all the newcomers, and welcome to everybody that received chips. Congratulations, that's big stuff. And congratulations, Danielle, on your 1 year. It's big. I'm a bit nervous, bear with me. You know, I'm not used to big crowds. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my story. My story's not too much different than all of your guys's. You know, in the beginning, I started drinking about 9 years old in my family. We would have celebrations and, you know, we would get together on weekends and I would go get Dad a beer and I would actually take a drink on my way giving it back to him. You know, we wouldn't get too tipsy, but it just like started happening every weekend. But when I really started drinking was about 12, 13, when I was in junior high. Me and a girlfriend of mine, her parents were out of town, and we decided to make some screwdrivers. And I knew that day that I fell in love. I found something that I've been missing for so long. You know, it just made me come out of that shy shell that I had. And when I got drunk that night, all I remember is climbing the stairs and rolling back down and doing it again because I just thought it was so hilarious. You know, did it a couple times and decided to go roller skating that night. Believe me, it didn't turn out very well, but it was fun. And we tried to make a habit of that every weekend or as soon as we can get it. My mom was one of those parents that as long as you drink at home, you'll be okay. And that's what I would do. I would start drinking at home, and it wouldn't just be weekends. I started drinking more often. As long as there was beer in the fridge, I would actually go and sneak some. And as long as I was home, I thought I was okay. And I remember the first time I got in trouble for drinking, I was 13 or 14, we went to a Halloween party. And at that Halloween party, it got busted because they knew that there was a whole bunch of minors there drinking. And, of course, they pulled me aside and they asked me, does your mom know where you're at? I said, of course she does. I'll call her. And, you know, they gave me their cell phone, and me being drunk, I'm calling everybody else but my mom. You know, just, they asked me if I got a hold of my mom yet, and I instantly started lying. Oh, no, I got to call this other number. You know, the lies started just coming one after another at that time. And I didn't get in trouble or anything, so that kind of gave me the insight that, you know, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm still okay. Part of my story does include other things. I am mainly an alcoholic, but it does include other issues as well. So forgive me if anybody feels offended, but that's part of my story. About 15, I had my first child. I was still trying to go to school. I was still trying to work, trying to raise a child, and it was a lot. So at that time, I would try to find a way to relax. Being a first-time mom, didn't know what I was doing. I had the help of my mom, but I still thought that, you know, it's all my responsibility, so I would try to take on more than what I don't know what I thought or what I could. I would just try to drink myself to go to sleep at night. And then after a while, I was introduced to meth. And when I found meth, I thought that I could do anything then. I could stay up longer. I can be a better mom. I can drink longer. That was my biggest thing, is I found out that I can drink more when I used meth. And so I loved doing them both together because I drank longer and I didn't feel drunk. You know, and that was big. I didn't get the tipsiness, but I was able to drink. And About 15, 16, I was getting heavy into my drinking, started stealing from my job. I actually would work at a fast food restaurant, and when I was working there, I was taking people's orders off the top of my head. I knew what the price was, so instead of inputting it into the computer, I'm calling it back. They're making it, and I'm pocketing the money. You know, and that was me. It's the things that I did, and you know, never got caught. So eventually, I quit that job and went back to school to get my GED, and I got my GED, started doing well for a while, kind of quit drinking, quit using drugs, and all of that just for a little while, and I decided to move out of my mom's house, and when I moved out, she hated me for moving because her first grandchild was a girl, and she thought that was her child, so, you know, she felt like I took her child away, and we just started fighting, so I didn't know how to cope with things like that, so I picked up drinking again. And my drinking didn't get out of control yet. You know, I started off slow, and just, I was still able to function, and before long, it's just a matter of time before it just started happening every day, more and more, and it went on for about 2 years after that, 2-3 years. So right around 18 or 19 is when I met my first husband, and we were dating for a little bit when I got pregnant with my second child. That relationship was good in the beginning. It's all about honeymoon stage in the beginning. But as we started going further, it became more abusive. He didn't like me wearing makeup. It's a good thing he didn't like me using drugs or drinking alcohol. So that kind of helped me stop there. You know, and everything about me had to change. And I became a person that he wanted me to be, not the person that I wanted to be. So I lived that life of who he wanted me to be. And on occasion, I would sneak drinks just to make myself feel better, is what it was. I would sneak alcohol just to make myself feel better. And then I would go in, brush my teeth, and put on some perfume and just think that I was doing a great job hiding it. Even though I had the red eyes and I was still kind of tipsy, I was hiding it. And I thought I was doing a dang good job. And we got married July, and we had our son, June 10th the year before, and a year later him and I got married. I remember that my marriage, I was pounding down pints of vodka. Because I knew that I didn't want to get married, but yet I had to follow through with it in my own head. So I figured if I drink more, I'll be okay. All I remember is there was a dollar dance, and my clothes decided not to stay on for very long. It was a wedding, so, you know, that's what happens when I get too much liquor. And it was nothing I cared to remember, but I got told about it the next day. You know, they kept, do you know what you did? And, you know, for me to cope with that, I'm like, okay, do you got any alcohol? You know, send it my way. That marriage didn't last very long. We were married July 1st of 2000. We were separated by July 12th, 2000. Yeah. It didn't last very long. We were, you know, we managed to stay together longer than we were actually married, and it just didn't work. I actually had a nervous breakdown during that time and ended up going to an institution for suicidal tendencies because I got tired of the verbal abuse that came along with that marriage. So, you know, it was a good thing that it didn't work. I don't know where I'd be today. But it was an experience that I just knew what I didn't want to put up with. And I found that out through that marriage, what I wasn't going to put up with. After I left that marriage, I started going on antidepressants to mellow myself out and kind of get that chemical balance back. And I didn't like who I was on those pills. I didn't like the way I felt, so I tried to find a different way to deal with it, and alcohol seemed to balance me out at that time. So I thought. So I would take those pills, take alcohol, and try my hardest never to sober up, because the next day, the mood that I was in just was so intense. You know, it's like I would cry for days, and I didn't like it, so I would drink more so I didn't cry. You know, and I found out that if I just stay drunk, then I'm not crying. So, you know, I tried to do that. And I tried to be a mother during this time as well. And when I separated from my husband at that time, he took my son and he hid him from me. And he would not tell me where he was. You know, because of my breakdown and everything, and because I was on pills and I was drinking, he wouldn't tell me where he was. And because of that, I felt like I was a bad mom. And being a bad mom, you know, I would drink more. I had one child with me, which is my oldest, and then I had my second one hidden from me. So I was blaming him for a majority of things that were going wrong in my life. The fact that I couldn't visit my son, so I would blame him why my drinking was increasing. And before long, like I said, I just kept staying drunk and started doing other drugs. And my house was spotless, though. had the cleanest house ever, but, you know, had a lot of recyclables as well. And it just was an everyday routine. I didn't think anything was wrong. People would tell me that I had an issue, and I told anybody who told me that I had a problem, you know, I don't need you to stay out of my life because you don't know what you're talking about. If you knew what I was feeling and what I was going through, you would do the same. And I lived that way for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And I started losing things, started getting behind on my rent, started not being able to stay awake long enough to take care of my own kid. So I figured I would move away and move back to my mom. At that time, I was living in Oregon. And it's real pretty up there. Everything was cheaper. Everything was great besides using drugs and drinking alcohol. And my mom actually moved back down here to Tulare County. And deep back in the back of my mind, I knew Tulare County, capital of meth, you know. I knew what I would be going to if I sit there and told my mom that I was coming back to her. So I moved down here with my mom, and I eventually lost sole custody of my son. But when I was down here with my mom, that left it free game for me to drink as much as I want, when I want, how often I want, and never be home. Majority of the time, I was just taking off, Mom, I'm going to go to the store. I'll be right back. If anybody knew me at that time, my be right back is not for 3 days. I'll be right back. You know, and I did that quite often. And I did that, and that's when I started running the streets a lot, hanging around different people, and I thought that I was catching up with old friends. You know, these were childhood friends that I've moved away and haven't seen since first grade, second grade, and stuff like that. So I thought I was catching up with old time. At least that was the excuse I would tell myself. And things just got out of hand. I started getting into trouble, started going to jail. First time I went to jail, I was looking at 5 years. And that was a possession of an armed weapon. Yeah. And I was looking at 5 years, but they put two and two together and found out it wasn't mine. But they also seen that I was willing to go down for somebody that I didn't hardly know, because I wouldn't tell them who it belonged to. And I sat in jail just long enough for somebody actually to take the rap, and they did, and then they finally released me. But I was looking at 5 years, and that was scary. You know, first time ever in jail, I'm looking at 5 years. Didn't cross my mind that I had a kid. Not at all. You know, didn't cross my mind that I would be leaving my kids behind without their mom. Anything like that. So I just went along with it, and I got released from there. And as soon as I got out, it was drinking again. First stop. As soon as you left jail, when you get released, the first stop right there on Mooney, you have that little Chevron's market. Right there. Candy bar and a beer. It was a good mixture to me. Just had a sweet tooth and I needed a beer. So, you know, and that's where it started. And then I have to go check and see where people went, where if they were all still in the same place. And next thing I know, it's my birthday and I'm getting drinks handed to me. I'm getting everything as a gift. And it made it even better in my head. And there's a lot of time that I just don't recall. You know, it's like spurts of images where I remember some things, people tell me some things that I did, and then just blanks for long periods of time because I was always drunk, high, loaded, you name it. That was me. And I did that for a while. First time I went to treatment, I went to PAR in Porterville. And they put me in there right around Christmas time. And I remember on my way down there, we got pulled over. Me and my mom got pulled over, and the truck we were driving had no tags on it. So they ended up towing the truck. So I got a police escort to PAR. Yeah. You know, I pull up in a police car, get my bags out, and they're like, wow, okay. This girl really needs help. And I went to PAR, and soon as I got my very first pass was right around my birthday. And my brother's dad, he decided to show up the night before my birthday and bring me some money. So he brought me $180 while I'm in PAR. What is a girl going to do with $180? As soon as I got my pass, I had knew nobody in Porterville, but the person that I was there with, she sure did. We stopped at the liquor store, got us a 12-pack. Went somewhere else, met some people, got some more stuff, took our 12-pack, put it in our bags, took it back to PAR, went to the basement, drank it, smoked it, got kicked out the next day. You know, that's my extremes that I go to, you know. They told me the next day, because I had my pass, it's normal that they test everybody. And I told them, don't worry, you don't need to test me. They're like, why? And I go, because I used, I'm dirty. Don't waste your test. So they kicked me out. They had to call my probation officer, and I told him, just tell my probation officer I'll be right there, promise. But I didn't. Actually, I kept my word that time because I wasn't ready to go to jail. And I went to probation. I was walking, so he had to wait a minute. So I walked to probation, checked in, and they gave me 30 days to get back into another treatment or I was going to jail again. And that's when I had enrolled with New Visions and was put on the waiting list. And waiting for a bed to open, having to call every day, still being out there on the streets, trying not to drink, trying not to use drugs was very hard, especially when I lived with somebody who all they did, it was beer 30 every day. You know, that's the way we looked at time. I ask you what time it is, it's beer 30. It's like, oh, and the cravings were just so strong. And the day that I got the call to go into New Visions, I just got done picking up a bottle of vodka, and on my way back I picked up something else, and I got back to the house and I get that phone call, we need you here in 30 minutes. And I was like, crap. I threw all my clothes in the hamper, didn't fold them, didn't care what I grabbed, just threw everything in a bag and whatever, my clothes basket, and I went. And I did New Visions. Back then, it was a 90-day program. So I ended up doing 90 days in New Visions. And living with 16 girls, it was rough. We didn't like each other every day. Some girl telling me what to do didn't really settle well with me. And I would try to become a loner. I didn't want to talk to you. I didn't want to know you. I was introduced to meetings. Didn't care what any of you guys had. I'm just there to get through, do what probation wants me to do. That's it. I didn't want what you guys had. If you want me to find a sponsor, I'll find one. But I'm not working the steps. And that was a lie. I found my sponsor. My first sponsor, her name was Gina. And her and I went over the steps. And I've done the first four that time. Got all the way to the fourth and fifth one. Done my fifth one, but I stopped at my character defects because I still was in denial about any of them that I had. And during that time, I found out I was pregnant. And I ended up having two kids after that. So I had two kids in sobriety. And that's when things started going well. I completed New Visions. I went and found a job. I got a job. And I got my own place. Had my kids with me. Got into relationships that were abusive. Married the man that was abusive. Because I thought that was the thing to do. You know, thought that I would change him. Things didn't work. He went to prison. I divorced him. He came back. I married him again. Same thoughts. Thought I could fix him. So that time it's been three marriages, twice to the same person. And still, I'm like, what is wrong with me? I started blaming myself why most of these relationships weren't going well. And that time I was still on probation. I was doing recovery court. And I remember when they called me, it was in April of 2007, when they called me and said, you're no longer on probation. And what does Desiree do? Let's celebrate. Went and got me a beer. And I thought that I could do it then. I was drinking beer during that time, going to work. So I thought, okay, I'm a functioning person. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm handling it pretty well. And before long, I was at work. And I was working in a grocery store as a cashier. And I remember they sell tall can single. So we had a lot of homeless people that would actually come in and sometimes open a beer every now and then. But hardly ever. But when I was there, it happened quite often. And I was always the one that would sit there, oh, I'll go dump that. I'll go write it off. I'll go dump it out. I swear. And I would dump half of it out, drink half of it, dump some more out. You know, I couldn't let it all go down the drain. That was harsh. And I did that for quite a long time. And then I picked up other drugs again. But the alcohol was continuous. I would have it during the morning and go to work hungover. And just to get over my hangover while I'm at work, I would pop a can open and drink it while I'm at work, sit there, chew gum, thinking that I'm hiding it. When I know dang well perfume and gum does not cover it all. Not even a bit. And then I don't remember what I did. I think I got in trouble that day, and the boss started yelling at me, and my addict mind, I'll show you. I quit. Not 2 weeks. I'll quit right now. And I quit my job. And then I eventually lost my house, had to move back in with my mother. Like, again, moving back in with mom, free game. She actually had all my kids, and I would take off in the middle of the night after I put my kids to bed to go drink and party, and I would always tell her, I'll be back in the morning. I'll be back before they get up. At first, it was that for maybe the first 2-3 days. I was home before they would get up, but then after that, oh, I'm on my way. Oh, I'm just around the corner. Oh, I'll be right there, and it just kept going on for days and weeks, and it eventually just quit coming home. So my mom actually kicked me out thinking that she's going to straighten me up, and she kicked my kids out with me thinking that that would make me straighten up. During that time she kicked me out, I went to live with a friend in Visalia, and it was just drinking all day and whatever I could get my hands on all day, and it was just chaotic life, you know, the life that I always told myself I wouldn't put my kids around, and I did. And I allowed girls to come into my life and start chaos. You know, I ended up losing my children because somebody called CPS and said my kids were kidnapped from Lindsay and that there's no food in the house. But yet when they got to the house, they found a refrigerator full of food. They found out that I'm their mother. But I was under the influence, and I stepped past that threshold. And once I stepped past that threshold, I was got arrested. They wouldn't let me call my mom or anybody, and they took my kids. And I always told myself, okay, that would be the end. If I ever lost my kids, I would quit using. Told myself I'd quit using. But I didn't. I got worse. I went to jail for 72 hours, got out, had court dates, could not show up to the court dates sober, could not show up to visits to my kids sober, always loaded. Sorry, I get emotional. It just didn't stop. And it continued that way. And I just continued in the criminal activity, continued cheating, continued whatever I could do to get my drugs, to get my alcohol, whatever it was I had to do, I did it. Things just got pretty crazy, and they started getting really intense, and we moved around from house to house. We'd stay place to place. Nothing was ever stable. Eventually, I just lost my kids and gave up on my kids completely and tried to drink it away. So from September 16th, 2008, all the way till October 10th, 2011, I stayed drunk every day. All day. You know, if they would have taken my BAC, it probably would be off the charts because I was using drugs and also drinking so much that it was just bad. I wanted something different. I wanted to not feel. I wanted to not think. But I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to use drugs anymore. That life I didn't want anymore. You know, and I would sit there and blame God, talk to God, back and forth. It was just a back and forth battle of what are you going to do for me? And if I didn't see it right away, then I didn't believe in him. And then I sat there and I remember praying, I'm done. I'm completely done with this life. Help me get out of this. But then I put stipulations on, I just don't want to go to jail though. Well, you know, that's what it's going to take for me to get sober. Then that's what it intended to be. And that time I got arrested, went to jail, and being tired, I think I did 30 days that time. Got sober and got out. They put me on drug court. And being on drug court was a lot more intense, but I guess that's what I needed. I needed the more stability. I needed the more supervision to be over me to make me do good. And first of all, I was just taking drug court to get out of jail. I had the plan that I'm going to get out of jail, I'm going to just go check into probation, get everything good with them, and then I'm going to go on the run again. And I didn't do that. I started going to the Alano Club, the ABC meeting, and the Attitude Adjustment is my home group. Was my home group. I haven't been there in a while because I've been working weekends, and it makes it difficult. But I started going around to the Alano Club, and in the beginning it was around the holidays, and it was very tough for me. I didn't know how to get through holidays clean and sober. I didn't know how to be around anybody without the use of alcohol. I couldn't be around my kids or family making cakes or making turkey or anything without alcohol. Everybody else was drinking around me, but I couldn't drink. And I just kind of would leave and go sit at the Alano Club. And then I started getting into the book, started reading the book, found my sponsor, the one I love her to death. She's been my sponsor for the past 5 years, and I love her to death. She showed me a new life. She showed me new ways. She also pulled my covers and didn't let me get away with my lies. She would call me on my crap and tell me to quit. And that's what I needed, somebody that would know me that well to start calling me on things. We started getting into the steps, and she said I had to completely surrender everything. And I thought I did that when I prayed to God and got thrown in jail. That's where I consider my complete surrender. I was done. And just took me to realize getting into the steps when that actually was. I started working the steps, and I was always fearful of my fourth step because I didn't want to take a look at me. I knew how bad I really was, just didn't want somebody else to know some of the extremes that I have actually went to and things that I have done. But I was honest this time. This time when I did it, I didn't leave anything out. I put it all on paper. I shared it with my sponsor. We got through that. And then she said I had to look at my character defects. Me, I still didn't think I had any character defects. So I actually had to print out a list. And, well, I got married again during this time. Sorry. My fourth marriage. Still together on this one, though. We're making it work. Different guy.
Okay.
Yeah, different guy. A guy I met in recovery. And, you know, we got married, and we're still going on 5 years. And anybody who knows me would be my daughter, my oldest daughter, and my husband that got to know me. They would know my character defects. So I printed out a list of 100 character defects online, and I handed each of one of them a list. And I said, okay, need your guys' help on this. Circle all the ones that you think I have a problem with. And they did. And the one that they had in common was argumentative. I looked at this and, what the hell do you think? Why do you think I'm argumentative? All right. I'm argumentative. So I had to work on that. Try not to be as argumentative all the time. You know, and they actually helped me identify a lot of my character defects. The ones that really knew me helped me identify a lot of them had character defects. And then we worked through my shortcomings. My list of making amends is ginormous. There's a lot of people I have to make amends to, and I am still working on that. I'm working on some of them today because there are times that I want to jump in and go and run and make an amends. But part of me knows that I'm not ready. My higher power knows that some of the amends are not going to be forgiven. I'm not going to be forgiven for everything that I've done. And working the steps in the order that they were intended got me to that stage where if they didn't forgive me, I'll be okay with it. I'm not going to go out and drink. I'm not going to go out and do anything. And I had to work those steps from 1 to 8 to 9 in order to realize that. Because before, when I tried working them, I jumped all the way from 1 to 9. You know, instead of going to 2, 3, 4, 5 and all that, I went to 9 thinking like, okay, I owe these people an amends. And they didn't forgive me. And then I went back out those times. But this time, I've made amends to a lot of people, and they see the change. Since I've lost my kids, it's been, since 2008, it's been 8 years since I've lost my kids, and I have not got to speak with them. The family that they're with is my ex-in-laws, and they see how well I'm doing. They see where I am today. They see all of that, but they're hurt, and they won't let me. They won't even talk to me so I can make an amends. But things are happening over time for me to get that opportunity. Since I've gotten sober this time around, I've became a mom again. I've got my oldest daughter back with me. I became a wife and a friend, a loyal wife this time. And I've actually grown to like the person that I am today. I am employable. You know, with my criminal background, I never thought I would ever find a job again. I can't work in retail. I can't work at fast food. They think I'm going to steal all their money. And that's just because of what I've done. I've made my bridge, and now I've got to cross it. You know, and I got to prove to them that I'm not that same person. And today I'm really not. I've gotten a job. Today I'm a substance abuse counselor. And I've been in this field for the past almost five years. And I feel that my experience will help a lot of females, males, whatever out there. Today I could say that I am the drug court liaison for a company that I actually went through when I was going through drug court and giving them a hard time, like, you can't tell me what to do and I'm going to do it my way. And then because I was studying counseling, I knew everything and you can't treat us like that. And, you know, I tried pulling all that stuff and now I have people telling me the same thing and it's like, wow. But I'm really happy with my life today. I have gained friends in these rooms. I have gained support in these rooms. I've had deaths in these rooms. One of my oldest sons, the one that I lost at a year old, I lost sole custody of him. I haven't seen him since he was 1 year old. He is 17 now. And just as of June, July, we recently started talking. Yeah, being sober gets you those things. I have gotten many of the promises that it makes, but the most important promise that I've gained from working the steps and being sober is the freedom from bondage. Mm. That is what I've been trying to find for so many years, and I found it here. And I didn't think I would. I didn't want to. I didn't want what you guys had. To me, you guys didn't have anything that I wanted. But by staying around, listening, putting my phone down, sitting on my hands, not leaving, and listening to the message, eventually I turned my ways around. This is a life that I wouldn't trade for anything. I was living from house to house, here, there. Now I'm married, me and my husband, going on 5 years, and we're going to be homeowners as of next week. Woo! And that's big. You know, I thought I ruined my credit permanently, but I guess I didn't. And, he helped me. We helped each other get it back to where we need to be and be productive citizens of the community and everything. It's like, wow, we can do that. But I try to give back every moment that I can. Being of service is... Yeah, I was of service for the Weekend Attitude Adjustment Group for 5 years. And I had to give that up because I started working. But, you know, I had to look at it in a different way, that somebody else needed that place. Because it got me where I am and got me to where I am today. The foundation that I have in recovery, it got me where I needed to be. And I think it was time to pass it on. As much as I didn't want to because I'm selfish, I needed to. And I'm happy where I'm at today. There's still a ways that I need to go. There's still some amends that I need to do, and I never thought I would be as far as I am. But I don't know. I'm running out of things to say. I hope you guys have a nice Thanksgiving, safe, sober, with the people that care about you. And just remember, if you ever need somebody to talk to, you guys can go to the Alano Club. They have a list of people that you can call. My name is on that list. If you ever need to talk, we're here. Don't think you're ever alone. We're here. We know what you've been, where you've been, what you're going through. We know how to deal with that. You just got to learn to talk about it and let somebody know. We're not mind readers.
That's right.
All right. And thank you guys very much.